We are the 27th of March, 2012, and it's a bit overcast on Salt Spring today, but still a beautiful day. Now, I have a friend of mine in the studio here, James. James, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for asking.
So, where are you from?
I'm from beautiful Vancouver Island, from Victoria.
From Victoria.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do over in Victoria, James?
Well, I sell real estate with 1% Realty, and I've been with the company since 2007.
So you're a real estate agent from Victoria.
Yeah, yeah. And like yourself, I'm an island guy, and I just love the West Coast.
Right. So you've been with 1% since 2007.
Yeah, and I've had a great run there, and no business is doing well on the island.
So now you're thinking about, your wife had a baby this year.
That's right. I am a father now. Wow. I had my little boy in December. His name is Matthew, and he's just the joy of my life, and yeah.
That's quite exciting. It's a fun time when they're little like that.
Oh, they are, yeah. It's definitely a learning experience, I'll tell you that.
Right. And you get all the gear, too. I mean, you get the, it's surprising the amount of gear you got to carry with a little kid. You've got the car seat, the bag with the diapers, the wipes, the this, the that.
Well, that's it. You know what? If it wasn't for my wife, I tell you, I'd probably just with the diapers. You know, but she's got everything. I mean, she's got a bag that's devoted to him, and it has everything in there. Things that I never even knew existed.
Oh, it's amazing, hey? And then you get the, you know, I remember we picked up all the stuff. You get the baby monitor. I mean, it's a whole learning experience just getting all the gear.
It is. It totally is.
And I kind of wish my wife and I had started when we were like 18 and had like 6 kids in a row for succession. Because by the time you got to the last one, you wouldn't even notice, and they would just be, you know, running around the house. Where are they? I don't know.
Right, exactly.
But the first one is so unique because obviously it's the first one. You've never done it before. So it's all inclusive.
It is a great run. I mean,
it's amazing how much time it takes and energy.
It does. It definitely takes a lot of time, energy, and patience, but it's worth it. I mean, just, you know, doing it every day and seeing him and that. I mean, and things are changing on a weekly basis with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're doing new stuff all the time, so.
I know, I shot a ton of pictures and videos when their kids were little, but I wish I'd even shot more. I mean, it's amazing. You think, oh, well, I'll get it next week. That's why I kind of wish I'd had more.
That's the great thing with technology, Scott. It's just, I got the camcorder and I got the camera by his crib.
Right.
So anytime he's doing something, I'm out there, and my wife gets upset with me. I think sometimes I'm doing, you know, so many videos and pictures of her and little Matthew and that. So, yeah, I think I'm filling up my computer now.
But it's kind of fun. I mean, it really is. They're only that age once. And
that's it. And it goes by quickly, hey?
It does go by quickly. I mean, it's really an amazing thing.
And he's growing at such an alarming rate.
So now, you guys, you're going to move.
That's right. Yeah, I've been in Victoria all my life.
Right.
And my wife got an opportunity to work up island. So,
Where does your wife work?
She works up in Port Alberni.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to move to Parksville, and I'm going to be doing real estate in Parksville as well in Nanaimo.
Right.
And she's going to be making the commute from Parksville to Port Alberni.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a long haul. I've never been to Port Alberni.
Really?
I've always wanted to go up there.
You know, I never quite understood it. Like, Port Alberni is
oh, Port Alberni. Okay, I've been to Port Alberni. I thought you meant Port Hardy.
Oh, Port Hardy. No.
Port Alberni. Okay.
Port Alberni. And it's only really a 40-minute drive
right.
from Parksville.
Right.
It's not that long. And
it's just you go over the top of the mountains and it's...
Yeah, it doesn't take you much time. And you know what the great thing is? It's just a continuous run. You're not stuck in traffic.
Right,
or,
right.
You're like, Victoria is grown.
Port Alberni is a nice little town.
It is.
There's that sawmill there, the old sawmill that you can go through that's really cool to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is quite something, yeah.
I love that creek going down in the town. I've always wanted to float down. You know, you can swim through there in the summertime.
That's really cool. I haven't done that yet.
So we're going to talk about real estate today.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know what you want to chat about, but...
I got some interesting stories.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's hear one of the stories.
Well, as you know, the thing with real estate is it's changing every day, and you get to meet a lot of, you know, really neat people.
Right.
And one story that I have was back actually my first year with 1% Realty.
Right.
And it was an elderly couple.
Right.
And they just seemed like, when I first saw them, they were like your grandpa and your grandma. Like,
right.
They were someone you could instantly just fall in love with.
Right.
Really easy to deal with.
Right.
Well, I had a call from them, And let's just call them Jack and Jill for the sake of it. But
no names.
Right? No names. No, exactly. We want to, you know,
keep it clean here. It's a family show.
Exactly. So this woman phones me up named Jill, and she says, "Oh, hi, I've seen your ad for a condo in Victoria,
right,
and I want to come take a look at it with my husband." So sure, why not? I'm excited. You know, I'm in my first year of real estate, so I go out and meet them. And they decide, you know, this is not going to work for them. You know, the size is too small. They need more space. And we were looking, at that time, it was about 1,100 square feet. So, I mean, it was a decent size
condo. Where was the condo?
It was out in Royal Oak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the Royal Oak area. And, then, you know, they're up there. So, you know, they're looking for something that obviously they can, you know, downsize to. But anyway, so that didn't work out for them.
1,100 square feet is pretty small.
Yeah, you know, so
especially if you're coming from a big house.
That's exactly it. So anyway, they said, you know what, we can't seem to find anything in this price bracket. So why don't we bump it up?
Sure.
Okay. Well, sure. Well, what do you want to go to? I said, well, let's go from 300 to 400,000. So we spent another week and looked around, and we couldn't seem to find anything that sort of matched what they wanted. So they said, well, let's bump it up again. Let's go to 500. And then next week, 600,000. And then 700,000.
Right.
And I'm starting to think, wow, this is getting, you know, this is getting pretty big. And
well, that's when the condos get really nice up around the $700,000 range.
I
mean, you get some stunning places in Victoria at that price range.
You do. And we were down near Maddox Farm there. And there's a complex there, and it's extraordinary. The elevators will actually talk to you, telling you what floor you're on, and you have 180 degree views of the ocean.
Right,
and
that's nice.
It's amazing. And then in the parkade or the parking lot, they don't have stalls. They have garages.
Oh, really?
So you drive in, and then you have your own private garage within the complex, which is quite something, and workshops built into it. So
that's cool.
It started to get up there, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, normally when people contact you, they give you a price range of 300 or 400.
Right.
Or maybe it's a $50,000 bracket or what have you.
Right.
And it just kept getting larger and larger and larger. And they said, you know what, you know, I think we found the place, but we want to take you to lunch.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, sure, why not? I mean, usually it's the other way around, but I said, okay, well, let's go down for lunch. So anyway, sure enough, we did that. And they said, we have to tell you something. And I had been working with them for about three or four weeks or what have you. And they said to me, you know, we don't have any money. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, like, what have I been doing? What have you been doing, you know? And
did they lose their money or they just didn't have it?
Well, that's where things get interesting.
Okay.
So the husband says to me, he's like, we used to have a non-profit organization, and what had happened was a few years ago we lost all our money.
Well,
and I said, okay, and we're doing this over lunch. And I said, okay, so where are we going with this? And he says, well, we need to borrow $3,000 from you. And I said excuse me? And they said, yeah, we need to borrow $3,000 from you because we have been contacted by the president of Nigeria.
Oh no!
And they're going to give us $3 million. And I said, I just put my head down, and I'm just shaking here. Just, you know, oh my goodness, you know, is this a joke? And they said, no, we he's going to phone us in about 5 minutes. And I said, well, how do you know this is the president of Nigeria? Oh, no, they've contacted us by email. They knew our email address.
Oh, the poor people.
And you see these scams all the time. I mean,
so then they needed the $3,000 to send it to Nigeria so that they were going to release the money.
That's right. They said the money was tied up with their lawyer. And
these poor people actually believed it. Hey?
They did. They honestly believed it. And I said, you know what, that's not the president of Nigeria. He says, no, we're getting him on the phone. And sure enough, his phone rang right at noon.
Right.
And
these guys are real professional scam artists.
They really are. You got to be so careful, because there's all kinds of scams with, you know, with real estate.
Whenever it sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
It is, yeah.
You know, we had a guy from the UK email us saying he wanted to buy a house on Salt Spring, and he didn't care which house, and he was just going to send the cash and, you know, just pick up the best house.
I've heard
and
of
I
those.
Mean, You know, Rob and I was, Rob had this, he was working with this customer and he Googled the guy's name and sure enough, it just came up, you know, all these websites, watch out, it's a scam, it's
right,
a scam.
Right, right, yeah.
There's so many of them.
There are. I mean, and that, you got to be so careful.
Well, I've never heard of somebody actually going that far, really assuming, well, I'm surprised they were really leveled off at $700,000. Well, I mean, they were getting the $3 million. Like, why didn't they?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're going to use it to buy something else.
Right up to the penthouse suite.
That's right. Why buy more?
Why stop at the 700? I mean, if you're getting all this free money sent to you, let's just shoot them, you know, for the moon.
Exactly. So anyway, he gets this guy on the phone. And he says, okay, we're going to send the $3,000. I got my realtor here. And I'm thinking, no way I'm getting involved in this. So he gets off the phone and he says, you know what? We have all the information. And I said, look, I said, I don't think you're actually speaking with the president. And he said, no, he gave us his passport information. We got photocopies. And sure enough, they pulled out all kinds of documentation that could have been easily, you know, forged or whatever, right?
Well, in Nigeria is the scam capital of the world.
I mean,
it just, that's unbelievable.
So I'll tell you, that was probably the most awkward drive home I've ever had in my life, because I told them flat out there, and the problem was they didn't have a car, so I had to drive them home, and they lived in Oak Bay. So here for 30 minutes of almost dead silence.
Well, maybe I'll just play the radio. Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, you know, oh my gosh, I gotta say something, you know.
So now they're gonna fire you because you won't give them the $3,000 cash up
front.
So
that's pretty much what happened. We basically got to their place in Oak Bay, and they were very upset with me. They were absolutely certain that, you know, what they were being told was true, and that I wasn't willing to help them out. Well, to make a long story short, they jumped out of the car and basically said, you know, this is it. We don't want to have anything to do with you. And, you know, we don't want any more listings from you. And then, you know, so a week goes by. And then I get an email from them, and it's just a big apology saying, you know, we're sorry about how we treated you and all this, but we're wondering if you could take us out to look at more places. And I just basically left it at that. I just said, you know, I don't think it's going to work out, you know. But,
you know, I find that with real estate, if, let's say you get a listing and it sells right away and everybody's happy. The buyers come in, they're happy. The sellers sell the place, they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
You're the hero, right? You know.
Well, that's the thing.
They make the placard, you're invited to Christmas dinner. I mean, you're the absolute hero. If the place doesn't sell, you become the villain.
Well,
I mean, you know, like you go, there's no hero status. You're just the villain because you didn't sell my house. It's got nothing to do with the price of the house. And that's why when I don't know how you price houses when you do a CMA. Usually I give people ranges, right? You know, your house should be, you know, listed between $399 and maybe $415, and expect to sell it at maybe $375.
I do the same thing, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, we want to list it, but we're actually thinking about, like, you know, $550 instead of the $400. And you're like, maybe $499, I'll list it at that.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't beat me down that low. We want $539. So you think, well, you know, I'll list it in a contingency that, you know, we review it in maybe 3 months. And then if we don't get any action, we look back at the plan A and we kind of, you know, drop the price down to where, you know.
Exactly.
So 3 months go by and nothing's happening much. And then, you know, well, we're not sure. You know, we think it's due to your bad marketing.
I've seen
nobody's
that.
Come by because your marketing is so bad and your photos are so bad. And
why are you bringing people here?
Yeah, well, you know, and it's like, well, the reason nobody's coming is because it's overpriced. And
that's exactly it. Pricing is everything, especially, you know, with real estate.
It's a, you know, so you're better off not to take those listings, but all of us, we're weak. We're salespeople, and we end up taking them.
Well, that's the thing, you know.
We shouldn't, but we do.
That's right.
I think all realtors fall into the same trap. We kind of, you know, we love the house, we like them, you know, we just think it's overpriced, and we're kind of hoping that they'll kind of see the light after 3 months, and then...
Well, that brings me up to another story. I got a call 2 years ago, and the house is still for sale. So that tells you something there.
See, that's the telltale right there. That's the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, well, this you know, the nice lady phones me up and says, you know, I got this place with panoramic ocean views. It's a house in central Saanich, and I want to sell it for $2 million.
Right.
And I said, well, what's your assessment? She goes, it's $1 million. So I'm like, okay, well, have you done any work? Have you added on a farm or what? I mean, what did you?
She's painted.
Yeah, she's painted, exactly. Sure enough, she hadn't really done anything to the house, so I pulled up her neighborhood, and the houses in and around were selling for about $1 million. Right. I said, what makes your place so much different? And of course, as real estate agent, I think we hear it quite often, is, well, my house is so much nicer than the rest of them.
Right.
And I said, you know what, unfortunately, if I took your listing, I wouldn't be able to sell it. I said, you know, that price is, you know, obviously too high. Well, and going back to what you were saying about, you know, they blame the agent when it doesn't sell. Well, this lady has been trying to sell it with, I think, 6 or 7 different companies. And she'll go through them after 60 or 90 days and then cycle to a new company. And she hasn't bothered to lower the price at all. And, I mean, yeah. Some of these agents she's going with are, you know, they're good agencies.
See, know? That's why, well, and why did they list it? Because, you know, they're all hoping that, you know, she'll list for maybe 90 days and then kind of get the message that it won't sell.
That's right,
and they can show her a list of all the places they did sell at this price. And then she's like, nope, fire them and get someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
See, and that's why I'm a firm believer that, you know, the boards should constitute aggregate days on the market. So when a house like that actually goes on the market, anybody looking at the MLS should be able to look at it and go, well, that house has been on the market for 1,200 days.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's been with 6 different agencies. A consumer should just be able to look at it and instantly see when it was first listed, how many days ago. Right now, see, she fires the agency. The new agency comes in, gets a listing, puts in the write-up, brand new listing, exciting new listing, $2 million. So an uneducated consumer that flies out from, let's say, Calgary, they don't know the market, they hadn't noticed that the house had been listed 6 other times, can literally sit there, look directly at the agent and say, is this a brand new listing? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, it's a brand new listing. We just listed this house. It's brand new.
Yeah.
And okay, well, how about if I offer you 1.8? Okay, well, let's put it on paper. I want to buy it. And then when they get the house, you know, they're all excited. They move in, go see the neighbors. Oh, we just bought the house. Oh, you bought that house. It was listed like 10 times. Didn't you know?
Exactly.
They told me it was a brand new listing.
Yeah.
It was a brand new listing.
Yeah.
See, that's where the real estate system, in my opinion, kind of breaks down. I mean,
it does, and hopefully consumers do get, you know, start to get a lot more information, because.
But the information should be up front.
It should be.
I mean, when you buy a car, the car year model number is right there. It's in the VIN.
Exactly.
You can check the VIN. You can check.
You can go back and
It's a 1993 Nissan. I mean, it says it's a 93. It is. You can't say, well, yeah, but it's a new listing, so therefore
it's a new car.
We polish it up. It's a new car. Welcome to Johnny's Used Cars. No, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, you know, and the problem is then it would also make consumers less likely to just ditch the real estate agents and bring in a new firm every 3 months or 4 months or whatever. And actually, I read an article about by one guy in the U.S. where the board actually switched to aggregate days on the market. And what it did was, the boards have this phobia that some people believe real estate, you know, our job as real estate agents is to pump up the market, keep the market going. Our job is to actually represent the houses and sell the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So if the house has been on the market for 2 or 3 years, why not tell people it's been on the market for 2 or 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
When they switched in California, and this one board I was reading the article about, they said it actually, prices did come down, but it actually, when the prices came down, things started to move.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, that's what we want, is to get the market moving.
Mm-hmm.
So to have someone like that lady have a listing on the market at that price, it's not doing anybody any good. It's just skewing the statistics.
It is.
It's skewing the market. It makes the market look, you know, so bloated that, you know, and the problem is, all realtors, we're all salespeople and we're all weak and we just want the listing.
Exactly. Well, I mean, going back like with the whole PCS system and that, when some agents will take it off and they'll put it back up on the market after like, you know, 60 or 90 days, yeah. And they put it on as a new listing. And then, of course, the client on their PCS system gets in and says, hey, this is a new listing. And it's just bumping the listing over and over and over again.
Yeah. No, I think it's wrong. I think that system's going to have to change.
I think so. I definitely think so. So,
but it's one of the things. That's why I really think agents, you know, we actually want a system that works. And, you know, I always get these people saying, oh, the MLS is a terrible system. And I think it's actually a really great system, the Canadian system, that we have all of the listings in the whole country on one.
Yeah, when you go down to the States, they're on multiple systems.
Well, there's 5,000 or whatever MLS systems in the U.S. In Canada, we have one. It's actually a fantastic system. It spans the whole country, and you can go in now. They have the downloadable app, and they have it even for Androids. They have it for all the phones. You can get it for Blackberries, iPhones, and you can get this app that's incredible.
Oh, yeah. It drops all these little pinpoints all over the map saying where the listings are.
As you drive down the street, it'll refresh, and all of a sudden, you know, as you're driving down the street, you see the for sale sign. You can hit the little pin, and it'll tell you how much the house is. I mean...
Oh, yeah. You know, I know. Well, I mean, the technology is just changing so rapidly. I mean, with these smartphones now, you can go up to a house, and if it's got one of those, what do you call it?
QR codes.
You can scan it with your phone, and you can get all the information,
all the
price. Yeah. It's fantastic, you know.
And that's why I think that we have a good system. All we need to do is you find, like any system, you just refine it and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's where the real estate agents, you know, we work together. We own the MLS. It's our system. It's just a matter of making it better, making it more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, you know, it'll move forward. It'll be probably a little bit lighter weight, a little bit more... No, that's what we were talking about when we had coffee. It's the boards. James is moving up from Victoria to Nanaimo, Parksville,
yeah, exactly.
And now you've got to switch boards, even
transfer everything. I know.
It's hard to believe that there's two real estate boards on Vancouver Island.
I think really we only need one.
I mean, what? I mean, I'm not slagging the boards, but why do we need two? I mean, I don't know. It may be in the old days when... you had to manually send in, like you were saying when you did that listing in Cowichan, and you had to write out the whole thing on the manual.
Well, the data entry forms, yeah.
If you had to send all the listing stuff, in a physical form to the board, and the board had to do all the data updating.
Yeah.
But nowadays, with it all being electronic, on this radio show, I've actually launched listings live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just push a button and the listing goes live.
Right there in front of you. I know. It's amazing. And, I mean, you can do that with price changes or updating the open house information.
Yeah.
But then if you want to sort of, you know, do something on another board, you got to follow that data entry form.
And the boards protect their own little areas. And that's where I think that the whole real estate system could be more streamlined.
I think ultimately it would make it better for the consumer.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I've talked to other agents across the province, and like having one board in all of British Columbia would probably be a pretty good idea.
Well, the thing is, I had a client who was in Victoria, and she was wanting to move up to Shawnigan Lake. And she said, well, why don't you set me up for PCS for Shawnigan Lake? And I said, sure, well, why not? And so I got her all the single family homes in there, and she was getting the listings. But then she calls me up and she says, you know what, there's listings that aren't on the PCS that I can see on MLS. And I had to explain to her the reason why you don't get those is because the ones that I'm giving you are from the Victoria Real Estate Board. The ones that you're seeing that are on Realtor.ca are from the Vancouver Island Board. And unfortunately, I can't send those to you.
See, what we'll do is we'll explain to the listeners, the PCS is a private, it's called Private Client Services.
Mm-hmm.
It's a system that realtors have that if you go onto our websites, you can actually sign up for the PCS system and you can set your own search criteria. So if a new listing comes on the market, the second that realtor launches the new listing, you'll get an email blasted to you saying there's a new listing in your criteria range. With the MLS, the MLS site, realtor.ca site, can take up to 4 days to get a listing live on there. So if you're searching by the MLS site, you know, the time lag is about 4 days. And also, the problem with the MLS site, if a place sells, once it has a sold sticker on it, sold, it's just taken off the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
And the critical information when you're buying is that price difference between the asking price on the MLS and the actual sold price. And so if you're, let's say you're looking up in Parksville and you decide to hire James to be your agent, you know, that's what you're trying to figure out. Well, you know, are places in Parksville selling above the asking price mm-hmm. within 3 days, or are they selling below the asking price and taking 90 or 100 days to sell?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and how much below the asking price on average are they selling? Like, I'm watching, you know, $400,000 listings sell at $350. Well, that's the critical information that you need to know.
It definitely helps you with placing an offer. I mean, if you find that the sell-to-list ratio in terms of the selling price to the list price is at 95% and you're putting offers in at 99%, you could have been saving, you know, thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's and plus you're getting other critical information too, such as the relistings, because once have the PCS system, when a listing expires, it doesn't just evaporate. You keep it on your own database.
Mm-hmm.
And then if a new listing comes on or the same house is relisted, you'll see it because it'll probably be right below it. And there, well, I know that house. And that's why you can't. The problem is you can't trick the consumers anymore, and they're more educated, and they have the tools available to them to make critical buying decisions. And part of it as a consumer is getting those critical tools, and the PCS, in my opinion, is one of the better ones to use.
Oh, yeah.
I've looked at all the different systems, like the Matrix systems and different ones. The Vancouver Realtors all have their own systems, and I still think the PCS is by far the best one for the customers because it's simple, mm-hmm. it's straightforward. I love the color bar. You know, you got green, red, yellow. I mean, how much more simpler, right? If it's green, it's active. If it's yellow, it's conditional, unconditional.
Yep.
And then if it's red, it means it's changed hands. I mean, mm-hmm. it's simple.
It is. And I think that's key for helping consumers. And it educates them, too.
Exactly.
You know, and that's important to have, you know, especially in this market. They know how to place their offers. They know the neighborhoods. They you know, they know what to
do. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. You know why? This is called a cliffhanger. Because you're on a roll, and it's really good, but we're going to make everyone wait for the rest of that.
Uh-oh.
As we stop for these breaks, we'll be